The Two Tones. This is episode one. Andrew Walker. For 2018. Not paid the mark of the year. That's all right. We move on. Most people have, not me. I'm Tony Moncler. It is a delight. It is a pleasure. It is all sorts of thrills to be saddling up again with the great man, T.D.B., the Beast, Tony DeBolfo.
Lovely to see you, Tone. Isn't it great to be back?
It is.
You know, March weather's glorious in Melbourne. And I know you've got a twinkle in the eye, certainly have a spring in the step. Looking forward to a massive year down here at Icon Park, as I'm sure you are too, Tony.
Oh, bring 2018 on, please. And look, there's much to get through. There's been a lot of changes at the club over the last couple of months, or certainly since the last episode of the Two Tones for 2017. We are going to look at, as I said, the changes that have been rung in our absence, and plus Carlton's game recently, or the win over St Kilda, which was very exciting.
Tremendous performance,
wasn't it? Well, I've got to say, there was a, let's talk green shirts, and I know that phrase has been overused, especially here on the Two Tones podcast, but they weren't shoots, they were beanstalks the size that Jack would feel intimidated to climb.
Nice of you to understate the scenario as usual, Tone, but it was truly exciting to see the team go about the business the way they had against St Kilda, who, as we said, had been a bogey team for Carlton in recent times.
They were a full-strength team as well.
They were indeed, but you know, you talked about the young players out there performing. I really thought that there was great signs across the board, not only with the young players, but with you know the guys that I guess are in that middle tier, experienced players also. I just think looking at that team that took to that field against St Kilda in totality, there was so much to like about where this team is going and the direction it's heading. And it tends to vindicate, doesn't it, the big decisions that have been made over the past 2.5 years to, you know, really, really reinvent this list. And it's exciting to see the growth. Not a question of if now, Tony, but when, when they come through. And that's really exciting to be part of it and to see the progression of this team under Brendan Bolton.
Well, the other night it was under the great man David Teague.
Well, it was.
If you don't mind.
What are you suggesting, Tone?
Oh, no. Well, I'm just saying that the depths at Carlton, it's not only on the field, it extends to the coach's box.
Well, it does. It does. Cameron Bruce has come into the club as well, amongst others. So, you know, we're seeing, new faces of the club, new ideas, new directions, I suppose. But I think the one constant now will be uniformity amongst the team. You know, there's been so many changes to this playing list, so many people moved on, that, and I think Stephen Salone, the list manager, has declared it, that now we look for stability. And I guess the scenario that these players now face is the scenario of, you know, playing games together and really, really gelling as one tight-knit unit, and that all goes well for the team going forward, no doubt.
Well, look, to Carlton fans who have endured something of a, well, at times tough, a decade and a half, let's talk about some of those green shirts, and you can't go past, of course, Paddy Dow. The Dow opened high.
Yes, Paddy Wow, he looked great, didn't he, as many crews have declared. The thing that amazes me about players like Paddy Dow and O'Brien, obviously Lockie O'Brien, is their capacity to seamlessly fit into the senior group, Tony. It always staggers me. You know, these are guys, I don't think they're eligible to vote yet, are they? They certainly can't drive a car. I don't think they're 17 a bit. But it just amazes me that, you know, that the way that they can slot in. And Dow looked like he'd been there forever and a day.
Yeah.
You know, and just there was that great passage of play to the Garden Street end where he took that ball out of the centre. And I think, did he put it down many cruises through?
Yes, he did, lace out.
And that was just, I mean, anyone that came to that game to see that would have gone home saying it was worth it to be there just for that play.
Yes.
But you know, again, I don't want to sort of detract from the performance of the other players either, because I just thought there was magnificent signs across the board. I love the way that Liam Jones and Marchbank team so yes. well defence. You know, losing Sam Doherty leaves a chasm, you would think, back line. Yet the players seem to really work well as a team, with Simo, I guess, a stabilising influence up back. And, you know, when you see players like Jones and Marchbank covering for each other in defence, you're automatically drawn back to those days of, you know, Stephen Silvani and Dean, you know, and all those guys backing
the Rocks and Gibraltar.
The Rocks and Gibraltar. And I know we have to temper it. It is, you know, we're just into March and it is a practice match, but you've got to, you know, to quote Kath, I like what I see, Tone.
Yeah.
I like what I see.
Well, let's talk about one of the main talking points of that. But there were two. Oh, look, there were more than two, but I'm just going to throw the spotlight on two. Garlett's bump sling tackle was magnificent. He landed heavily on his shoulder, but didn't that broadcast something to the playing group?
Well, it sent a great message. You know, Jared Garlett's a man that's, I guess, starting again.
Do we call him Jiffy?
He's his own man. I think we have to be fair. Enough, I appreciate where you're coming from.
Okay.
But I think you're right. I think it was a fantastic message that Jared Garlett sent with the vigour that he applied to Jack Stephen, you know, to put him out of that contest. Okay, cost him his wing, you know.
Yeah.
However, I think that signaled a real intent of the players, you know, that. At this level, you've got to be ferocious at it. It's a shame he's not going to be there this week. I suspect that incident has led to his unavailability for this week. But there is a big intone. Would you like to declare who comes in at Jared Garlett's expense?
It wouldn't be a long-time favourite of the two tones, would it? Can we say it once?
Your friend of
mine, Jakob Vietering.
It's back in the team tone. And it's lovely to see him take his place again. You would think that Vietering would be prime for a big 2018.
It's been confirmed this year that there's no experimentation as far as Jakob goes. He will be down back because we know he can play up forward.
Well,
in terms of his career and everything,
yes.
That's where you'll find him when you need him.
More often than not. And in fact, the point you make makes me again think back to that St Kilda game. And another real positive of the performance was the way that we had options up front.
Yeah.
You know, with Cruiser pushing up in front of goals and, you know, you had Harry Mackay. We saw glimpses of the great man out there. You know, you'd have to think he's going to be part of that front half for many years to come.
Yeah.
I just really think that there are so many, you know, really good indicators that this team is on the make, that it's starting to push on, and Carlton supporters can feel genuinely enthused by the direction in which this team is heading.
Now, can I just backtrack to something from the other night? Paddy Dow losing some teeth.
Yes.
It reminded me, as club historian Tony DeVolfo, you may confirm or deny that this actually happened, but it's certainly one of my favourite anecdotes. In the Wayne Britton era,
yes,
when he gathered the team around and was trying to motivate them to play harder. I think
yes.
it may have even been a practice game, I'm not sure. But in an impassioned moment, he pointed at Adrian Hickman and said, "Look at this bloke, he's got no teeth." So as a way of saying, you've got to put your body and your head over the ball, no matter what the consequences. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, that augurs well. If you compare anybody, Adrian Hickman, to that sort of toughness, then,
let's do that. Although, perhaps, Tony, he was just pointing out, look at this bloke, he's got no teeth. It may not have been an inherent message. But it's funny, when you mention that story, another story that comes to mind relates to, well, I'd say he would have lost a couple of teeth, probably, had a jaw dislodged in the process, was Graham Allen in the 1981 Grand Final when Wayne Johnson took him out. And Tom Hafey, I think it was at three-quarter time, dragged Gubby out to the Collingwood Hovel to illustrate to them the lengths to which Gubby had put his body on the line. The problem was that Gubby at that stage looked like John Merrick. So that actually had the adverse effect. It basically sent this shocking message to the Collingwood players. Crikey, look at this bloke. you know, and so it actually had the opposite psychological effect.
Yeah.
So they say, Tony.
Yeah. But I have caught up.
Who won? And I have caught up with Gabriel over the years since, and I've often reminded him, gee, it was a good day, only one grand final game. So he said to me, yes. He said, well, you were drinking Verve Clicquot out of the Premiership Cup. I was sucking on a malted milkshake out of a straw in St Vincent's Hospital. So he hasn't quite overcome that moment in time.
We do know it's a cruel game. As I say, there's lots to cover off. We will get back to previewing the Carlton Hawthorn JLT match.
We probably should. First and foremost, introduce our producer.
Well, this is the most important change to the Two Tones for 2018. Lucy Jamieson is our new producer and the person who does all the work behind the scenes. Does that name ring a bell, Tone?
Well, I have heard the name in dispatches along the way here at Bluesville, Tone. Lucy is, of course, sister of Mick Jamieson. Great to have you here, Luce, at back of the club. I know that Mick himself, since his retirement, has still been a regular visitor to our humble abode here, Tony. Yeah. I suspect that both he and Lucy will be prominent as the season goes on here in the media department of the club.
There's an 8-man leadership group. It takes fewer people to run China.
Very true. Mark Murphy again at the helm, Tone, which is lovely to see. Sam Doherty, obviously, he'll be spending a fair bit of time in the coach's box, I guess, this year, Doc.
With an eye on a future career, perhaps?
Well, I believe that he's harboured aspirations to one day coach the team, and, why not?
I'm
sure he'd be eminently qualified to do so. Paddy Cripps, of course, taking on, leadership responsibilities. And then just going down through the list, Ed Curnow, Alex Silvani, Lockie Plowman, Kate Simpson, Matthew Cruiser. All good men, tried and true, that I'm sure will lead by example as the weeks and months progress.
Now, look, it's going to be hard, we know, for any Carlton supporters watching Adelaide this year, especially if as they are expected to, they do well. Gibbs has moved his wife, his child and his man bun back to Adelaide. he's already played well in the early season games,
yes.
And of course he's teaming up with Eddie Betts there. So
yes.
We wish him the very best of luck. He was a great Carlton man.
A great servant for the Carlton club. Would have been more than happy to stay on had it not worked out the way it had. And when you look at that, that deal, Tony, you probably have to say that is a classic win-win, because Bryce Gibbs, South Australian, young family now, he's given Carlton great service and has an opportunity to go back home, to a club that has a premiership window in the offing. All power to him. He's been a loyal Carlton man. And we wish him all the best. But I'm sure in making the decision, Carlton looked long-term and thought, well, for a player 29, Bryce Gibbs was, well, maybe we really need to look at, getting in a young kid for what we can get for the trade. So I think, time will tell, obviously, how these things work. But I think by and large, all parties should be reasonably happy with what's transpired in the Bryce Gibbs deal.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's going to be at times difficult watching him because he will flourish over there, and there's no doubt about that. If he does win a premiership, more power to him and his elbow. Speaking of evergreen stalwarts, how about this? A man who, by rights, should get his name on three lockers. Simo, approaching, a pretty magic number, you've got to say, 300 games.
Well, it's the little big man is closing in. And, we saw that St Kilda game, his performance. I mean, he still keeps on keeping on. Just a player that, more than any other players are but out of his weight. Just such an admirable figure for the club. It'll be a great moment in time when Simo runs through for game number 300. He'll be sharing rarefied air with, the likes of Craig Bradley, Bruce Duell, Stephen Silvani. It's just going to be a great moment for both him and the club. And to think, in game one, Tony, he registered duck eggs in terms of kicks and marks.
Yeah.
I think for the first 3 weeks, from memory. But just goes to show, you persevere and things change, and here we are. You know, the little bloke's closing in on the magic number.
Right, what's he at now, Tony?
That's a very good question. Is he 289, 290? Or I've got a feeling he's probably 10 or 11 games off. Most okay. getting corrected there. But all things being equal, yeah. he'll get there this year.
Yeah, about halfway through the season, we would think. Speaking of milestone games that we can look forward to this year, Levi Casbolt is on game number 94.
Yes, and a little statistic there, Tone. I'm hoping to get the Leviathan for a comment at some stage, but... the number 41, his locker number, is the only locker number between lockers 1 and 45 that does not carry a name.
How about that?
So his sixth game of this year will get his name on the locker and complete the sequence. 1 to 45, each locker will have at least one name of a 100-game player. So,
any 50-gamers in the 41?
No, I'd have to get back to you there. I think Peter Brown played for Carlton in the 79 Grand Final, yeah. Premiership, wearing 41. I don't know that he got to 50. So it hasn't been, you know, great in terms of the strike rate. So Levi's very much his own man there. But it'd be a great moment for him. And there's a victory for persistence, isn't it?
It really is.
To get 100 up after so long at the club. And he looks in fine fettle too, Levi. He looks like he's probably trimmed down a little bit.
Yeah. And the kicking?
Yeah, well, it was pretty good against St Kilda, as was Matt Cruz's. And it's been funny, Tony. It's been a funny pre-season because with the ground being resurfaced here, the players have been training off-site, so we haven't necessarily had an opportunity to see the players strut their stuff. But I know that Matt Cruiser, after that St Kilda game, a question was asked about his, you know, his accuracy in front of goal. And he said, oh, well, that has been a focus this year. And I'm sure Savrocka's influence, you know, with repetition, is starting to pay handsome dividends. Let's just hope the boys can keep that accuracy going into the home and aways.
Now, we're going to preview the Blues and the Hawks in Tassie in a moment. I want to get your thoughts on AFLX, the square ground game, Tone.
Look, I had a bit of a look at it. I must admit, when I tuned into that that Carlton match, I was preoccupied with Paddy Dow. I wanted to see how he fared. And again, classic example, he just fitted in seamlessly and really looked at home. He didn't look intimidated. In terms of the game itself, well, you know, it's easy to be dismissive of it, and people don't necessarily like change. I'm probably going to sit on the fence. I don't know what to make of it yet. And you know, when you look at it, you have to think big picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's played on that rectangular strip.
Yeah.
You know, what the AFL's obviously looking at perhaps taking this game maybe worldwide to places where there are a lot of rectangular pitches. So I suppose there's the big picture that you have to consider here. But the other thing that I think is worth considering here with both AFLX and AFLW is that when the next round of media rights comes around, the AFL probably has three packages in which they can sell.
Yes.
So financially, that's potentially a massive windfall for the league because you're tripling your product, aren't you?
Yeah.
So both games, AFLW, AFLX, still in their infancy. You know, the women, you'd have to say this year at Carlton have been a tad disappointing. You know,
yeah.
Plenty of ball, but not enough big scores being kicked. But I've often said, Tone, to people on the Ghost Tour, that the girls' team here at Carlton might be the salvation of the ground, because if the women continue to make an impression here, and the AFL looks at Princess Park, Icon Park, as a future hub for women's football,
yeah,
then it may well be that they begin to pour resources into this venue. And we've seen what's happened down south of the city with the Junction Oval,
yeah,
where that magnificent ground has been, well, the old stands there have been restored, and new facilities are put in, a picket fence has been put around the ground, and it is absolutely magnificent. It's obviously going to be the hub for Victorian cricket, but wouldn't it be lovely to see, you know, the league look at Princess Park as a future venue? Because there's nothing better, as we've seen in the practice matches, of a living, breathing full house here at Carlton.
Well, football manager Andrew McKay was being interviewed on radio recently, and look, apologies for not actually getting the name of the radio station, but he did flag plans to upgrade the ground. Now, that's obviously going to be a long-term process that will need state and federal government funding with it as well. But certainly they're not giving up on Icon Park.
No.
And there is, there's life in the old girl yet.
Well, that's right. And I know from the president down, they've always, had this, I suppose, maybe it's a romanticised view that, it'd be fantastic to see Carlton games back here, and men's game back here at Princes Park. At the end of the day, the AFL controls the fixtures.
Yep.
They tell the clubs where they play. And I know Kane Little, the new CEO, has said he'd like to think that with the resurgence of the team, that Carlton may well, or they should, outgrow Princes Park, and command audiences of 40,000 plus every time they run out. So I suppose you have to also take into account the commercial realities. It's a big business we live in, and the club obviously has to maximise its position in terms of where the team plays and when it plays and yeah, so there's a lot to weigh up, but I am an old romantic, Tony. Wouldn't it be great to see them play back here, running again?
Male, female, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The dark navy blue Guernsey running around Princes Park is enough to fire up the heart of any loyal bagger. Now, let's preview the JLT game against Hawthorn. We beat Hawthorn in the second half of the home and away season last year.
Took a while.
Who cares how long it took, Tony? It was a magnificent victory.
You enjoyed it, Tony. I was there with my daughter.
Oh, my God. It was like writing a terrible wrong. It was like the day Mandela walked out of prison. It was just magnificent.
It was riveting television. I remember that day too.
So
fist raised. It was a magnificent moment in time.
I would have to class that, I think, as my favourite game of last year.
Yes.
Just because it took so long.
It was a long time in the making. And we are back in Tassie for this game, Tony. And I forgive me if I...
You have to tell the story.
Have I shared this with you?
I apologise to our
vast listening audience here. But yes, I can recall, must have been 2007, Carlton were fixtured to play a pre-season match against Hawthorn at Launceston. And the late Dick Pratt had just assumed the presidency here at Carlton. And I was rather fortunate at that time that I was given the tap on the shoulder to be out of Essendon Airport on the Sunday morning at hangar number one, whatever it was. Got out there just in time to see the great doors of the hangar open and a Learjet sort of sauntered out onto the tarmac. And myself and the then members of the board all boarded the flight. We had a delightful flight down to Launceston, Tony, down to the airport, where we were proceeded to be shunted into a shuttle bus directly to the ground. We had a lovely lunch, and we saw Carlton defeat Hawthorn, which was the last time we'd beat them at anything before last year. And how well I remember, Tone, getting back on the plane levelling out as we left Launceston, and suddenly the waitresses sauntering down to the back of the cabin carrying trays of crayfish and all sorts of things and champagne. And I remember Dennis Pagan, the then coach, was in the back cabin where a lot of the power brokers were sitting. And he was looking around at members of the Carlton board munching on giant slabs of Moreton Bay Bark and shaking his head. And I'll never forget this. Dennis said, at the time, he said, "I've seen a lot of things in my time in football, but this takes the cake."
Now, what was Dick Pratt's attitude?
He always said, "You've got to celebrate the good times because they're all too fleeting." To achieve success in anything, it often takes a lot of hard work.
Yep.
And so when you get there, savour the moment because they don't come around often enough. And one thing I remember about Dick Pratt saving those moments, he often used to like to get into the Carlton huddle at the end of games to sing the song. And being an old thespian, Tony, he loved the theatre, and he I can remember when he used to sing the song, he had that little, what would you call it, Tony? Is it the brogue? I'm not sure what you call it, the cockney, the little inflection.
Yeah.
So I remember, you know, when you hear "We Are the Navy Blues," you'd hear him. It sounded like he was off the set of Oliver. "We Are the Navy Blues,"
yeah.
And it was like he was on standing in the old music hall in London in the turn of the century. But he loved it. He loved the moment. He loved celebrating the moment. And as I said, relishing victory and relishing successes. Perhaps they weren't as prolific as he would have liked before he died. But when you think back on it now, it was probably the club was very fortunate to get him at that particular point because it was truly vulnerable at that stage.
Yes, it was. And you remember the week he died, Carlton played Hawthorn, didn't they? And Fevy was going for the record. Clarkson put about 19 players on Fevy to prevent him from getting the Norm Smith that year, or from getting the ton. He denied that that's what he was doing. Nonetheless, it came down to a kick, didn't it? A set shot at goal that Fevy missed.
Yes.
And that, yes.
I've often wondered, I remember thinking at the time, gee, Jared Ruff is playing fairly deep for forwards, though. He was seeing the back pocket from memory.
Anyway, now Tasmania, Hawthorn, there has been a change, as we said.
Yes.
How do you like our chances?
Well, I'm quite bullish about them, Tony, because I think going into the big game against Richmond on the 22nd of March, I think we want to go in with winning form and with momentum. We note the reigning premiers have done just that, having won their past two encounters quite comfortably.
Yeah, 7 points the other night against North Melbourne. Yep.
Here. So, I mean, you know, we are playing the reigning premier, so it's going to be a tough ask. But I just think, you know, with every quarter that this team plays, you see the confidence lift in the players and the self-belief. And I just love the way the team is going about it. And I think, you know, we've only had glimpses of middling against St Kilda so far, but I just really like the way that the players are taking the game on. There has been criticism, of course, of, you know, the men haven't been kicking enough scores. We've kicked a lot of sub-100-point scores.
Yes, exactly.
So it seems to me that it has been the focus. You know, we saw Patrick Cripps going forward and being a presence up front. So I guess we're going to see a bit of that again also this year. So I just think there's a lot to like about where the team's going. The Richmond game, March 22nd, is the ultimate challenge, obviously. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, the Carlton players will approach it with the necessary mental wherewithal. They won't be intimidated. And bring it on, Tone. Bring it on.
Well, that's all we have time for in episode one of the Two Tones for 2018.
Yes, Tone. Before we wind up, I apologise. I'd like to acknowledge the passing of the two great men of the club at the start of the year. We lost Ken Hands not long into the new year, might have been just before, and then Keith McKenzie, former general manager of the club. Ken Hands, the last man standing in the 45-47 grand finals, a Leviathan of the club. Keith McKenzie, a real character. The man, Tony, who arranged for the two Carlton Guernseys to be whisked out to Tullamarine Airport to be handed to the girls, Anna and Frieda from ABBA.
What an image that is.
Magnificent.
And it was worn in their movie as well.
Yes, it was indeed. And I have to say, Tony, Anna looked magnificent in dark navy.
Didn't she?
Yes.
I tell you.
Yes.
Not too late for a comeback for the AFLW. Wants to, you know, if we want to grow the game in Sweden, that's what we're going to do.
No-brainer, Tony.
There we go.
Right.
Thank you for that, Tony DeMolfo.
Great to see you back, Tone.
And we will be back next week, as we will be for all of season 2018 here at the Two Tones.